bless you. God's grace is mercy is peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. So today is Mother's Day, and I thought today an appropriate passage for us to take a look at together would be the passage where Jesus uses a metaphor to describe himself and God's heart, namely that of a mother hen. A mother hen. That's kind of amazing even at the start of it, that Jesus, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, think of it, is God of the universe in human flesh with us, uses the picture of a mother hen to describe himself, especially his relationship with the Jews and with Jerusalem, and you could say also with all people, and especially to us. And what I'd like to reveal to you, or have Jesus revealed to you by his Spirit today through the words of Scripture, is the heart of God for you. What is his heart towards you as his people? And even his heart toward the Jews and his heart towards all people. So let's take a look at that today and see what Jesus teaches us by this metaphor of the mother hen on this Mother's Day 2025. So where again does Jesus say this? He says this in Luke 13 and Matthew 23. Describes himself as a mother hen, and we could look at both passages. We'll look at a little bit of both of them, but especially Luke 13, since they're almost identical. So let's jump into it. Let's get the context for where Jesus says this kind of a word in Scripture. Start out with Luke 13, and the context is, Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, journeying, teaching, and journeying towards Jerusalem. So here he's heading towards Jerusalem, almost in his sight, maybe not physically or so, but he has got it in his eyes to get there because he's going there with determination and purpose, ultimately to the cross. And on the way there, he's meeting with all kinds of contention on the part of the Jewish authorities. They are standing and aggressively attacking him at every turn, and he is fighting and preaching against them as well. And they're evil because he says here in the Matthew context, here's part of the context for Jesus' words. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in our fathers' days, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how are you to escape being sentenced to hell? So this is the context in which Jesus is going to lament over Jerusalem. He's heading towards Jerusalem, and he's meeting with fightings at every turn with the evils of the Pharisees. And where is he heading now? He's heading towards their headquarters, the seat of their power, evil, and hypocrisy. And we jump back here to Luke. We see that Jesus was preaching, and the Pharisees came and said to him, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. I gotta wonder, when I read those verses, did they really try to save Jesus' life and get him away from Herod? Maybe. Or were they just trying to get him out of Dodge, and this is a good excuse, because they don't want him there? I don't know. But get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Jesus says, go and tell that fox, Herod, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. So he's heading there, and what does he then do next? He then has a great cry over Jerusalem. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All right, so there is the passage. Jesus refers to himself as a what? A mother hen, seeking to gather Jerusalem under the brood of her wings, her brood under her wings, and they refused. They would not. What is Jesus? Why does he use this metaphor with us? Answer, Jesus is revealing to us the most amazing thing in the world, his heart towards the Jews. Laid out bare and naked to see, his heart towards Jerusalem. And what was his heart towards the Jews like? What was his relationship like them, with them like? I mean, if you use the metaphor, Jesus says, I, towards you Jews, towards Jerusalem, have been like a mother hen, seeking to gather her brood under her wings. Why do you think Jesus would use something like that? I mean, he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the mighty warrior of heaven, the Prince of Peace. Why describe himself as a mother hen? Well, the mother hen, of all the creatures of the earth Jesus could have chosen, is the most zealous of all creatures for the saving of her little chicks. I mean, picture, a great hawk or an eagle wants to come and devour them. Even if she be weaker in power, there's nothing more mighty than the mother hen who will give her life and go to save those chicks. She'll take on anything. That's my heart, Jesus says, towards you, O Jerusalem. None is more zealous in care. None has been more eager to protect you. None more zealous to provide for you. None more driven than the mother hen to save her chicks, and none more zealous to save you than me. My love for you, O Jews, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, has been like that of a mother hen, unmatched in zeal. Martin Luther commented on this passage. Hear what he said of the mother hen. Now behold how the hen acts. There's hardly a creature that takes such an interest in its young ones. She changes her natural voice and assumes a sorrowful, lamenting call. She seeks, she scratches in the ground, she coaxes her chicks. Whenever she finds anything, she doesn't eat it, but leaves it for the chicks. With all seriousness, she fights and calls against the hawk and extends her wings so willingly and permits the chicks to crawl under and under her and upon her. It is a fine, pleasing picture of Christ. Is that the Jesus you know? This is what Jesus says. He says, such was I towards you, O Jews, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This has been my heart towards you ever, which is to seek your salvation. So the thing we want to get out of this is Jesus is 100% zealous for the salvation of the Jews. Do you believe that? And he has been through the centuries. By the way, he also says, how often I would have gathered you together. Namely, for centuries previously, showing that he's God in the flesh. He existed before he took on his body amongst us in his incarnation. But then he also cries out here, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What do you know about using a name twice in the Bible? What's that mean? Emphasis, extreme emotion to the max. His heart is absolutely chock full of desire. This is like when David, remember, lost his son Absalom. Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom. Or Martha, Martha, you're anxious about many things. It's a heart absolutely laid bare with 1,000% full force strength. And that's what he's saying here. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I, like a mother hen, desired to gather you under my wings, to guard you, to protect you, to prosper you, to feed you, to provide for you, to keep you, to call you to myself, to gather you under my wings so for salvation, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So do you see here the heart of God? 100% love is what it has been towards the Jews. Jesus says, that's been my side of the relationship. But the next point is, what has been your side of the relationship, O Jews? Your attitude, your heart, and your actions towards me. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you tell me, you would not. I was 100% for you, but you were 0% for me. I mean, there were a few Jews who were, but basically Jerusalem killed the prophets and stoned those who were sent to them. Notice these words, though, gives us a great insight into the heart of God and the heart of man. I wanted, God says, but you did not want. The word of the Greek there is thelo, for want. God is saying, Jesus is saying, I wanted to save you. I wished to save you. I desired to save you. I had it in my mind as my plan to save you. I purposed to save you. I intended to save you. I endeavored to save you. I zealously sought to save you. I wanted to save you. And I worked for it persistently. And I called you to myself like a hen, a mother hen, her chicks. That was my heart towards you, O Jerusalem, O Jews. But what was your heart to me? I wanted, but you did not want. That's a stark and scathing word to say, isn't it? But it's true. You didn't want me. I wanted and wished for you, but you did not want or wish for me. I desired your salvation. You did not desire it. I had you in my mind, but you did not have me in your mind. I purposed towards you, but you did not purpose towards me. I intended and endeavored and zealously sought to save you, but you did not intend or endeavor or zealously seek my salvation. I wanted for you, but you did not want for me, says the Lord. No, but instead, what did they do? You only wanted to go far from me after your idols, to follow your evil heart, O Jerusalem, O Jews, to go into evil dark paths, and to go far, far from me, killing the prophets and stoning everybody I sent to you to bring you back. That actually goes from Jeremiah 22. God says, this has been your way from your youth, that you've not obeyed my voice. What a picture then we see here of God's heart and man's. Amen? And we're going to get to God's heart towards you as well. But see how God says to the Jews, I yearned with all my heart, like a mother hen, to rescue you, but and worked for it, but you would have none of me. I wanted, but you did not want. So Jesus here paints a picture for us, right? It's what a metaphor is, a picture. And it is the perfect picture of his heart towards the Jews and their heart towards him. Could it be said that this word from Jesus is the perfect summarization of the entire Old Testament, do you think? I mean, think about it. God, through the whole Old Testament, if you read the Bible, all these pages is the mother hen clucking, scratching the ground, coaxing, commanding, come under my wings, my mighty wings, I will be a refuge for you and save you. And the Jews constantly said, no, no, and again, no. Jeremiah 6, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set watchmen over you, saying, give heed to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not give heed. From the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt to this day, God says, I have persistently sent you all my servants, the prophets, day after day. Yet they did not listen to me and incline their ear, but stiffened their neck and did worse than their fathers. Again, God says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesied falsely. The priests ruled their discretion. My people love to have it so. But what will you do when the end comes? You see how God is pleading. Yes, you love your sin, but where is it bringing you? A storm from afar. The hawk is seeking to destroy you. Come, but they refused. What more was there to be for me to do for my vineyard, says God in Isaiah, that I've not done in it? I did everything. Therefore, when I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? Notice it's 100% God is in the positive for his people. They were 0% more or less for him, saving a few saints of the Old Testament. Ezekiel 33, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his wicked way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? My mighty wings are ready to save you. They refused. And Hosea 11, one more. The more I called them, says God, the more I called them, the more they went far from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. So we see God's heart towards the Jews, Jerusalem, was ever to save, protect, defend, keep, guard, lift them up, and save them under the wings of his salvation. And theirs was ever to run from under his wings, to run from the mother hen into danger. What is the result, by the way, even in nature, of running from the mother hen if you're a little chick? Does that go well for you? It doesn't go well at all. In fact, Naomi will remember this. She's here today, praise God. Came home last night. And when we were in St. Louis together at the seminary, I mean, she didn't go to seminary, but she was with me as a little girl. There was a little pond there outside the library, a square pond, fairly large, where there was always a mother duck every year, female mallard, and she'd have like 12 chicks, and it was so beautiful, it was so cute. They'd all be waddling and following along behind her, and I got to see her put her brood under her wings. I couldn't believe this one duck could fit 12 ducks under there, but she'd go, and she'd cover them all, and they'd all be under her flight feathers. But you know what? The sad thing was that the chicks did not stay close to her. Every year, every day, there'd be, in the spring, there'd be one missing, and then another the next day, and after a number of weeks, she'd be left all alone. Because straying from the mother duck, they would go astray into danger, and they would have either a cat get them at night, or a raccoon, or a snapping turtle would snatch another, or a hawk would come in and seize one of the other chicks. Because they did not come when called, they all perished. And that's really the way it is. Jesus says here, behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you'll not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Man goes astray from God, from the wings of the great eagle, from God, the mother hen, at the cost of his life. God says, you're forsaken, O Jerusalem. The word in the Greek is aphiemi, which means I let you go now. I loose you. I send you far away and forth. I let you go from myself. I give you out from under my power and possession. I let you escape, as if in a wife being put away by divorce. I let you go from under my obligation towards you. I quit. I abandon you, you are forsaken. Because you did not come when I called, therefore, to where you wish to go, I send you. And that's the way it is, friends, with the entire world. God calling the world, and especially the Jews here, come at my clucking, my beckoning, my drawing, my scratching, my command to come under my wings for salvation. And if you have refused this, then from under my wings you shall go. But into what? Into the hand of your enemies. No one see that it's evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God, God says in Jeremiah. And indeed they did go, to be gobbled up by the cats, the snapping turtle, the hawk. For 40 years after Jesus said these words, what happened to the Jews? In comes General Titus of the Romans, and he just destroyed the city, and the Jews were killed or scattered. The days came upon them, according to Jesus' prediction, when their enemies cast up a bank about them, and surrounded them, and hemmed them in on every side, and dashed them to the ground, they and their children within them, and they did not leave one stone in Jerusalem upon another, because they did not know the time of their visitation. So, no one see that it is very evil and bitter for anyone to depart from and run from the Lord, because he desires 100% to save, but man's heart is, no, we will go our own ways. And judgment has to fall eventually, and most of the people in Jerusalem at that time perished, not heeding the call of the Savior. What can we get from all this? Well, when a person is saved, we confess, it's 100% God's work. He's always working. That's his heart, is to save. Not just the Jews, but all people. But if a person is damned, ultimately, it is their fault because they refuse to come not under his wings, but to run in their own way. But I want you to see here the good news towards you. The heart of God, I preach today to you through Jesus' words, is always, like a mother hen, to save her chicks. With the zeal beyond your wildest imagination, God is a savior, a rescuer, and he doesn't want to come to destroy. Although that he will do in time if a man does not repent, God's first heart and his whole heart always is ultimately to rescue, to save, not only the Jews and Jerusalem, but the Gentiles and you as well. Can we see that in the Old Testament too? That God wasn't only after saving Jerusalem and the Jews, but the Gentiles too? You know, in even the Old Testament days, we read that his hope, his plan, his desire, his wish, his intention, his will, his purpose was even to save the Gentiles as well. One thing only, ultimately, to save. For God said in Isaiah, I want my house in Jerusalem, that is, to be called a house of prayer for all nations, all the Gentiles to come in and praise me there. Again, we see in the Old Testament, praise the Lord, all Gentiles, Psalm 17. Let all the Gentiles praise him. And again, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, he says in Isaiah 45. For I am God and there is no other. Remember, he spared wicked Nineveh, who were not Jews, Gentiles they were, but he wanted to save them as well. If God has that heart clearly revealed to us in Scripture, in the words of Jesus, to the Jews, to Jerusalem, to the Gentiles of old, here's my point for you today. How much more to you who have heard and heeded the call to come under his wings for refuge, does God actually desire your salvation? So many times as Christians, we can begin to doubt. Oh, I'm facing trials, tribulations. Life is not going my way. I wonder if God is really still for me. You ever feel that way? Does he really love me? Is he not after me to destroy me, or is he after me to save me? Well, we can wonder those things, but friends, take heart from the message of Jesus today. This was his heart towards people who stubbornly rejected him. Gentiles and Jews in Jerusalem, how much more his heart towards you is to save you, you who have come under his wings for refuge. He saved us, even loved you, and desired your salvation when you didn't know him. When you were going after evil, as we all have done at some point in our lives when we didn't know the Lord, we wandered from under his wings into far off, distant places of danger. He clucked, we ran the other direction. Wickedness and evil, into that we went, into things that don't profit. And what did we get for it? Well, we go astray only at the cost of our lives. There's the cat, the raccoon, the snapping turtle, and the hawk. Sin, death, the devil, and wrath coming after us to destroy us. But I want to say, even in that time, did God give up on you? When you were off like the prodigal son? No, he was looking daily, chirping, clucking, calling, come home, my chicks, come home, my people, under my wings, I'll save you. God didn't give up on us even then. He didn't give up on the Jews, the Gentiles, or we latter time Gentiles. Jesus said in this passage, now your house is forsaken, etc. That sounds like a final farewell, doesn't it? But was that his final farewell? Jesus gave this scathing word of coming judgment, yet, even after that word, what did he do? He's still headed to Jerusalem to save the people that he was talking about. Amen? Say amen if you believe this today.
Amen.
All right. They cried even against him. Crucify him. Crucify him. We don't want this man to reign over us. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're saying. They don't know what they're doing. You see, Jesus is towards all people is ultimately to rescue, to redeem, and to save, to bring you to life. We read in the Bible, Jesus says, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. He's a savior, that's what he is. God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him, that he who believes in him should not be condemned. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What is his heart towards you today? Phil, Art, Ian, Kevin, and all them others that we have today, and myself, what is his heart towards you? It's to save, and how much more you? How did he do it? He spread out his wings, his great mighty flight feathers. How? By stretching out his arms on the cross. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take shelter under my wings, and you will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will separate your sins from you as far as the east is from the west, from one end of heaven to the other, by my outstretched arms on this cross. Psalm 91, I will cover you with my feathers, and under your my wings you will find refuge. Have you done that today? God says to you, my people, and I'll take this from Deuteronomy 32, it applies to you now. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on its pinions, the Lord alone now leads us, and he makes us ride upon the heights of the earth. So, in conclusion today, what we want to get out of this, or what I'd like for you to get out of this, and for me and God and Jesus want us to get out of this, is the heart of God reveals that, yes, we sin at times in our lives, we wander at times, repent quickly, rush back to him at his call, come under his wings, but know this, that even if you're going through trials today, tribulations, and it seems like you're under a shadow, like God's forgotten you, can a maiden forget her ornaments that she should no longer remember? The fruit of her womb, etc. No, even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Like a mother, I remember you. Like a father, I protect you. And when you begin to doubt and face hardships, know that the Lord is not wishing that any should perish, but that all reach repentance. If he desire your salvation, 1,000% when you were stubborn and following after evil, how much more can you be sure of it today when you are under his wings, that he wants your salvation? Taste and see, friends, that the Lord is good. This I know, that God is for me, and God whose word I praise, I will trust, and I'm not going to be afraid. What can man do to me? God our Savior desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God, so turn and live. And my word to you, God says, is salvation. I'm on your side. Stand up and believe on me and trust in me, and I will bring you there. Isn't that an encouraging word for us on this Mother's Day, running under his wings for refuge? That God is not only our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's not only our mighty Father, our conquering Prince who saves us from all of our enemies, but he's also to us like a mother hen, who calls her chicks with all earnestness and is always after their salvation. The heart of God is like that of a mother. Mothers reveal it. For the love of mothers is stronger than steel, said a poet, softer than down, more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. This is God's heart revealed to you. This is Jesus' heart revealed to you in his word, his love. So be confident. He wants you saved, and he's working for it every day, and you are strong in him. And you have come to him. This is my final word from Ruth 2. I'll leave you with this blessing. May the Lord now give you a full reward, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Amen.